Chapter 13. Elsa Esser had been forced into a back room. He looked around for something useful as a weapon and found a keg spike.
"Look," said a hard voice. "It's an Inky."
Two Leaguers were in the room, armed with heavy clubs.
"Let's spill his swotty brains."
He recognised them. They had applauded at Brustellen's expulsion and stolen the library's copies of the professor's books to use as privy paper.
"Stay back," he said, waving his spike. "What have you got which could make us, Quillhead?"
Elsiessa reached into his jacket.
"This,"
he said, producing his copper badge.
"Now," he said, "up against the wall and spread your legs, ape men."
Yefimovich's face was gone. The cleric of Sigmar was a trembling wreck, and the Countess Elector a screaming harpy. Respighi opened the hidden door, releasing the catch at the top. The High Priest of Tsinch stepped into another room. Number 2 was a washout, Militsia decided, and gave him the shove. She could tell he wasn't interested in girls much. Her first mission now was to get out of this mess. No, make that second. First, she needed some clothes. Gallantly, the Norseman threw his fur waistcoat at her. Belted around her waist, it was like a dress. Now, escape. She made a run for the door. They had Hals von Tassenik down on the floor and were kicking the teeth out of his head. The Grand Prince's idiot son was trying to force a window and shrieking whenever anyone tried to touch him. Harald waded into the brawl and pulled two people away from the Elector's boot party. He knocked their heads together and dropped them on the floor. The rest of the kickers backed away. Harald picked the Grand Prince up and looked into his battered and bloody face.
"Good evening, Elector," he said.
"Remember me."
Militsia was in the dark. She was outside the inn in an alley. The cobbles were like ice chunks under her bare feet. At least she was safe now. The beast was savage, but it could be calm when it had to be. Its chosen prey scented. It stalked her, ignoring the other blood scents whirling around in the air like fog. Its claw was out. The fighting was dying down now, dwindling to mere confusion. Johan had been shielding the prince with his body, but the young man had slipped away somewhere. He prayed to Sigmar that Luitpold was sensible enough to stay away from knives and fires.
"Yefimovich is an altered," someone had said.
"It's true. I saw him. His head is a living flame."
"What?"
The revolutionists were getting rapidly disillusioned with their leader. No one was sure what was going on. Suddenly, Johan was surrounded by strangers. Harald was there with the von Tassenics, and so was Rosanna, over with the Norseman, the Kislevite, and the blue-faced, parrot-nosed Marquis Sidoni. Morlan Tybalt was sobbing and rubbing injured hands. Someone had clipped one of his thumbs for him, reducing his taxable digits by one half. But everyone else in the Delarugier party had spilled out into the dark. Militsia was almost out of the alley when she bumped into him.
"You!" she said. "Out of my way!"
The shape stood firm and then stepped forwards. She backed away. Its eyes were shining. She felt a scream beginning. The claw stuck into Rosanna's mind.
"Johan!" she shouted. "It's happening now!"
The beast's claw stuck into the girl's stomach and her eyes clouded. There was no time for a proper job. Harald and the Baron collided in the door Rosanna was pointing at. He swore and helped the Elector up. Rosanna was with them.
"Which way?"
he asked her.
"The alley, the way we came."
The passage was full of bodies. They had to struggle. Harald realised that Rosanna was screaming.
"It's killing me!"
It was killing her. Johan thumped someone out of the way, but it was useless. The failed revolutionists were streaming against them, pushing them backwards. Tears were pouring from Rosanna's eyes. Her screams scratched at his mind. It was as if he could feel it too. Elsa Esser had knocked the Leaguers out with a tap apiece from his spike and was feeling quite chipper. That was a blow for the Inkies, if not for the revolution. There was an empty barrel in the room, standing up like a tub, its round lid resting against the wall. There was a small square door, bolted at the rear of the room by some casks. He guessed it was for rolling in barrels. Outside, a sharp scream rose and was then cut off. He cursed himself for standing about feeling pleased. The bolts were rusted, but he knocked them free with his spike and put his shoulder to the door. It fell out of the wall and he stumbled into the alley, knocking his head on the opposite wall. There was blood in the water again. He remembered this place. Number 7, Marguerite Ruttmann. He saw the two figures at the mouth of the alley. And now, number 9. The corpse slapped the cobbles, falling like a loose-jointed dummy. Elsa Esser got a good grip on the spike and stepped forwards. Impossibly quick, the beast was coming for him. He raised the spike, but the killer had his wrist in a shackle-like grip. The beast pushed him, and they both fell back through the barrel door. Elsa Esser felt something sharp slice across his stomach and then his neck. He heard, rather than felt, his throat opening. He had failed. He had failed everyone. The beast picked him up and swung him around. He felt his shins strike wood, and then he was dropped. The beast had shoved him into the barrel. He was pushed down. His front was soaked with blood, and he couldn't cry out. He just made a gack, gack noise as he gasped for breath. The lid came down on the barrel, and he heard the blows of the cooper's hammer. He was forced down into a squatting position, his knees up against his chest. Blood was pooling around him. He was seeing colours in the dark. Mrs. Bierbichler had been right. He could die. But he would die having seen the face of the beast.